Good morning, friends. Very grateful for your presence and very grateful for your dedication to the Lord. And I do want to welcome those who are watching online. I appreciate your commitment to the Lord as well. We have visitors, and we're always encouraged to have, I see brethren here that heard me preach before, and they still showing up. It's good to see them from Ohio County. But thankful for everybody who is present this morning. I want to share a thought with you that I believe can be very important to all of us. And to kind of get a running start of what this thought is all about, I go back to what God said in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, when he said, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." That's a peculiar thought when you're trying to define a law that would guide a nation, and yet God said that you show respect to the older generation. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29, it says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." So that which is praised and honored here is the gray head, and the reflection of time on earth and the reflection of experience. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says, "To listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." And that's a picture at my mom's birthday when she turned 82. And I've come to realize that this verse is talking about how we are to realize the changes that people go through as they get older, especially with our family, and that we are to be there for them and to not despise the changes that are occurring. And there are other verses we could say along this line, but I think we get the point that in God's mind, he wants us to view growing old in a special way. We live in a time when people want to emphasize remaining young, to look as young as you can for as long as you can, to not let the wrinkles come, not let the white hair come, to not let the changes come. That's celebrated in our world, and that's emphasized in many ways. And yet we see that God is teaching us to have a different perspective, in the sense that old age is not to be criminalized, it's not to be despised, but rather it's to be celebrated. It's to be honored. And it's to be something that we show respect towards. And so I do want to spend a few moments this morning talking about honoring old age the way God would want us to, and to approach this from his perspective. And I do want to say a few things on this. And one thing I hope we can see is it is a blessing if you get to grow old. I know that's not always highlighted, and that's certainly not always recognized, but it is a tremendous blessing to be given long life in this world. And one of the main reasons for that is because you have more opportunity to see people. You have more opportunity to see the affairs of this life and see all the changes that come about, and certainly more opportunity to serve God while you're in the flesh. And I go back to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Where Solomon is basically saying, you need to appreciate your life before it's over. Because everybody has to go through the point of it ending for all of us. That's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 2. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten, also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. And so he's just simply basically saying, you only get so much time here. And we all have to leave. It doesn't matter if you're good, bad. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're an honorable person or dishonorable, you have to leave. None of us get to stay here indefinitely. And it's coming to all of us. And when we leave, we don't come back, and we certainly don't know anything about life under the sun. Never again will we be able to observe life under the sun. You only get that perspective now while you're here. And you may not be all that you want, and you certainly may not be all that you are in comparison to other people, but you're still alive. And a living dog is better than a dead lion. There's all kinds of advantages for a living dog versus a dead lion. And so he says, don't regret your life. Don't be miserable regarding your time on earth. Enjoy life. Enjoy your time here. Because you only get so many moments here, and then you will leave, and you're not coming back. And so it's a blessing for us to realize that life is a gift from God. Our Creator is sharing this with us. And we're so fortunate to have it. And so he says, change your attitude toward life in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Instead of looking at all you've lost, look at all that you still have. And look at all that you're still able to enjoy. Count your blessings. And so he says in verse 7, go, eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which God has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. For that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So he's just saying, basically, wake up, people. Wake up and realize what you have. Life is truly a blessing, and we need to see that. But the Bible also acknowledges that as fortunate as we are to have life, and especially those who have long life, it does acknowledge that it is filled with challenges. And even this context of Ecclesiastes shows that God is aware of the difficulties that come from staying in a body that's growing old. That God is aware of the diminishing strength and the diminishing skills and abilities. And he knows that presents us with certain obstacles. And that's outlined in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm not going through each of these, but we can take the time and read that sometime. It's a very colorful description that God gives of the changes that take place in the physical body. And so God again is saying, look, in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. That's coming. It's coming. And he's saying, look, everybody has to go through this. If you're going to stay in this vessel that gets old, then you're going to experience one, some, or all of these things before you leave this world. And he talks about all the changes that happen to the physical body. And there are changes that come. Now, that's a good looking dude right there. But you might remember that app years ago where you could take a picture of yourself and it showed you what it would look like in the future when you're old. And I was blown away. I was so glad to see I still have my hair. That's good. But what a difference. That's kind of freaky. You know, you look at that and you see, okay, well, here's what's projected. Here, if you stay on track, here's what it's going to look like. And all that black hair is mostly gone in 30 years. And you look at even my mom, you know, she's mostly white-headed. That's coming. This black hair is going. They're trying to come in now. I see them every so often, these white hairs just popping in, and they're coming in faster than I can pull them. Yeah, I admit it. I pull them while I can. But it's changing. Your body does change. And that's what Solomon's saying. He's saying, look, your eyes are going to change. Your teeth are going to change. Your posture is going to change. Your hearing is going to change. Your ability to sing is going to change. Your desires are going to change. They're diminishing. And one thing I do want to point out with you specifically because I think it's rather interesting, is the description he gives in verse 4. He says, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. Now, I've always thought that that's referring to how your lips will cave in, especially when the teeth go. But I asked this recently in the study that I participated in with the Aged Christian Study that we had, that wrapped up yesterday, in fact, and a lot of good lessons in that, really good concept, by the way, and I appreciate Brother Whiteside encouraging that. And a lot of good lessons were shared by various people. But when I did my part, we went through each of these descriptions, and I asked what that phrase meant, when the doors are shut in the street, because I, you know, thought it referred to something like I already described. But one person said it refers to opportunities. How your opportunities to provide or work or contribute are taken from you. That those things are diminished as you get older. Now, I had never thought of that. I had never thought of making that connection with what Solomon is saying. But that is a reality. That as we get older, and I thought that was a very good observation, and really it enlightened me with other comments from people, that as you get older, you are discriminated against, that your opportunities to contribute are really limited. And you think about it, that I can see this with preachers, that as we reach the 70 mark, 80 year mark, so on and so forth, you're just not in demand like you once were. You can't really just get as many opportunities to preach full time. We all want that young guy with a young family with 2.3 children. I understand all that. We think that's where the potential is. That's where the hope is. And yet you have guys who've been around the block a few times. And if they're still applying themselves, can be very useful in strengthening a church. Well, it's not just true with preachers. It's true with a lot of people across the board. You will be discriminated against as you get older. The doors are going to be shut. And I happen to come across what Barclay, in his commentary, said on this. And he takes that perspective as well, which I think is rather interesting. He said, the old man, as he grows older, has less in common with the rising generation. Mutual interest and social contact decline. And so he says that's part of what Solomon is describing. And what God is telling us in this context is, obviously, be mindful of that, of people who are going through that. But as he says here, you need to realize that's coming. You're not going to stay young in this life forever. It's not going to happen. We all were young and full of vitality in life, but our body is changing. And life under the sun is going to have a drastic change on all of us. And the thing we have to realize is it is coming regardless of the type of person we are. And so we are to be people who are mindful of those who are going through that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think of what God says about how we as Christians are to be mindful of older Christians and their needs. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. So as your parents or grandparents become older and unable to provide for themselves as they once could, you step up and you help out. God is saying to be mindful of this. And again, we all need to realize this is coming, and it's coming a lot quicker than we realize. I love these types of pictures where you have an older person looking back at a younger version of themselves and realizing just how quickly life has gone by. And somebody shared something with me recently I thought was pretty good. I don't know who wrote it, but it's talking about the last quarter of life and how quickly you get there. And here's what this person said. He said, you know, time has a way of moving quickly, and catching you unaware of the passing years. It seems just yesterday that I was young and embarking on my new life, yet in a way it seems like eons ago. And I wonder where all the years went. I have glimpses of how it was back then and all my hopes and dreams. However, here it is, the last quarter of my life, and it catches me by surprise. How did I get here so fast? Where did the years go? Where did my youth go? I remember well seeing older people through the years and thinking that those older people were years away from me and that I was only on the first quarter and that the fourth quarter was so far off that I could not visualize or imagine fully what it would be like for me. Yet here it is. My friends are retired and getting gray. They move slower, and I see an older person now. Some are in better and some worse shape than me, but I see the great change occur. It's all in a lifetime. So if you're not on the last quarter yet, let me remind you that it will be here faster than you think. So whatever you would like to accomplish in your life, do it quickly. Don't put things off too long. Life goes by so quickly. So do what you can today, as you can never be sure whether it's your last quarter or not. You have no promise that you will see all the seasons of life, so live for today and say all the things that you want to your loved ones and hope that they appreciate and love you for all the things that you've done for them in all the past years. Life is a gift to you. Be happy. Have a great day. Remember, it is health, and that's the real wealth, and not pieces of gold and silver. Well, when I read that, you know, I see a very close thing to what Solomon's saying here. Live joyfully with your family. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because you're not coming back to do it again. And what a blessing for God to share that perspective with us. And so, yes, growing old's a blessing. Yes, growing old has challenges, but God also wants us to realize growing old has responsibilities. You know, God expects something of you as you get older. And there are several ways we can see this. One is that God wants you to share your wisdom with those who have not been in this life as long. In Titus chapter 2, it tells the older Christian women that you take the time and you explain life and show life to the younger generation. Let them know what you've learned, and let them know what did not work for you, and spare them that trouble. In Titus chapter 2, notice where God says that the older women in verse 3, that they be reverent in behavior. So that right there, God still expects us to be holy and godly and respectful in our old age, to be temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. It says that the older women, likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So that's a duty God gives you as you get older as a Christian. Obviously, the implication is that the younger Christians need to listen and heed that advice, because these people have been around the block a few times. But we see that one side of that perspective, God is saying, share that knowledge, share that experience, and let them know. Older Christians need to realize this next point, because this is very big. And that is, God still expects us to have faith in Him as we get old. That the faith is going to be tested, and He expects us to still be reverent, to be patient, and to certainly trust Him in all that we are facing. It's a sad scene when you have an older person who is still chasing the vanities of life, who's still chasing that false hope of pleasure in the body and lasting happiness in life under the sun. That's not where life is, and they should see this by now. But yet God is showing us in these verses that he still expects us to seek him even in our old age. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in talking about widows who are truly widows. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 5 and 6 that she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Do you not realize that just getting old does not make you holier? That it doesn't just happen because we get older. That as we do get older, so should our spiritual life grow, but it's by choice. We have to apply ourselves to prayer, as he talks about here. It's not just going to happen one day. It should be in concert with our body that's growing older in time under the sun. And so he says that a real widow who trusts in God will continue in supplications and prayers night and day. In verse 6, 1 Timothy 5, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Now, how in the world can you have dead people walking? And he's simply saying that she is spiritually dead. She's alive and she's been blessed with a long life, but she has not met her potential spiritually. And God is not making an excuse for that. He's holding her accountable for what she could have been. Don't be a walking dead. We have to be people who choose faith daily, who pray to God daily, who ask God for forgiveness daily, who strive for holiness daily, and learn to trust Him at any stage in life, especially as we get older. We all have regret. We all have guilt. We all have shame. But God teaches us to respond with faith. And from what I can see, this is a very important thing to grasp. Because people don't always respond properly to getting old. You know, you hear about stories. And here's one that I came across that it's sad. It really is. But I'm going to read it for you. Because it teaches us a very important lesson. It was from a newspaper article. And it talked about an 81-year-old lady had her hair done the day before. Her husband, 85, got the mail, paused to chat with a neighbor. Inside their mobile home, they carefully laid out a navy blue blazer and a powdered blue dress. After lunch, the couple drove to a rural corner of their home county in Florida and parked. As the cows gazed in the August heat, the couple talked. Then the man pulled out his gun and took their lives, his wife and then himself. Near the clothes they chose to be buried in, the ones they laid out before they left, the couple left this note to their children. And it said, "Dear children, this we know will be a terrible shock and embarrassment to you. But as we see it, it is one solution to the problem of growing old. We greatly appreciate your willingness to try and take care of us after being married for 60 years. It only makes sense for us to leave this world together because we love each other so much. Don't grieve because we had a very good life and saw our two children turn out to be such fine persons. Love, mother and father." That's terrible. That's a terrible way to respond to the challenges of growing old. And my question is that how God wants you to end your life? I know people do this and they don't always have the right judgment. I'm not getting into that realm. That's between them and God. But if we do have the ability to choose, is that how God wants you to respond to an aging body? Is that the perspective He wants us to have? And here's something rather shocking. Do you not realize that the largest demographic of suicide is the older population? That's surprising. Even as of 2019, by far, people over the age of 50, especially over the age of 70, are in the largest demographic of committing suicide. Is that what God wants us to do? Is that how He wants us to respond to these trials? Here's what I see in the Bible. The Bible says the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if It is found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. So God is saying, look, this is a celebrated time of life if you keep your faith, if you maintain your reverence and righteousness, if you continue to trust in God. And that's exactly what we need to do. John Roberts wrote a poem on not growing old. He said, this frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old. I know full well, but I'm not the shell. What if my hair is turning gray? Gray hairs are honorable, they say. What if my eyesight is growing dim? I can still see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me on Calvary. Why should I care if time's old plow has left its furrows on my brow? Another house, not made with hands, awaits me in the glory land. And he's exactly right. And so I close with this very important point. And that is, as we get older, friends, we have to remember that we have to trust God to provide. And he knows that we feel insecure about this at times. There is an entire psalm written on getting old. Well, there's many references to the aging body in the Psalms. But in Psalm 71, the writer is saying, God, please don't leave me when I'm old. In verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Now the Bible's by inspiration. Everything in there is by the mind of God. And God has included insight for us to know. He knows we're scared. He knows that. And he wants us to trust him, as Psalm 71 is outlining for us. Or as it says in Isaiah chapter 46, when he said to the nation, and really it was true, yes, for the nation, but also obviously for individuals. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. That's a very comforting thought. Where God wanted his people to know, you're only a nation because I made you a nation. And I'll take care of you. Well, certainly that translates to the individual person. You are here because God made you. I gave you life. And I will carry you. I will bear with you. Even to your gray hairs. What a blessing for us to consider. So I share these thoughts with us this morning. I know there's more we could say about it. But hopefully we can see growing old is a blessing. It really is. You've been granted more time with people, more time to see the changes in life under the sun. What a wonderful blessing that is being shared with you. But yeah, it has challenges. God knows that, and we can understand that and expect that. And yet God says he still wants us to be reverent as people of faith and people who know God will provide. And then, of course, he wants us to be people who trust him all the way to the grave, whenever that may be. It's a beautiful sight to see somebody who is old in the body and yet young in the faith, strong in their faith and their conviction in God, especially when it leads them to obey the gospel. I'm always touched by scenes like this of elderly people who have been blessed with time and opportunity to obey the gospel, and they take advantage of that. They come in at the 11th hour, but they're taking advantage of that opportunity. It's a very touching scene to witness things like that. But they do that because they're convinced of what Jesus said about the hope he can give people. And that if you're a sinner and you want hope past your misery and your guilt and your fear and your shame, the only thing that can help you is the blood of Christ. There's nothing else in this world that can save you. And the only way in this world you're going to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ is through his gospel. The gospel is God's power to save man. And you meet that by obeying the gospel, understanding that he is the Son of God. And you're willing to turn away from every sin that you know of. And you're willing to make that great confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you will be buried with Him in baptism and you'll raise to walk in newness of life. So beautiful. If you understand that and are ready to do that, we sing this song to persuade you to obey that gospel today. If you don't understand that, we ask you for an opportunity to sit down with you. It's a very precious message. But if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come to Him as we stand and sing.